Jefferson. You say you never know. Ah, oh, you just never know.
Tune directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazu geschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Check it out. All right, you got that. Cause life is slow when the groove is on. Hey, I got a special guest, and she's here on Mondays. You know who she is. We just finished up with Jeff Slonim from Gotham Magazine examining the state of the nation. Now we're going to examine why that is the state of the nation. Elizabeth Haight from The Post, our relationship columnist. Elizabeth, how are you today?
Fantastic.
You look fantastic here.
Well, tell me why.
Well, you were just comparing bosoms with Sasha. You were just comparing tushes with Sasha. And if I'm not mistaken, you have the look of a winner.
Well, I'm sorry. And I happen to be 20 years older than Sasha. Yeah, I'm holding up.
Well, you're holding up beautifully, darling. Here, pay attention, Sasha. You've got your work cut out for you, baby. It's not unobtainable. you're just right before it. It's our job to make sure Sasha gets into the major leagues where she belongs here. So, functioning purely as an instructor.
I'll talk to her about it later.
Show her some of the tricks, will you? Uh-huh. Anyway, Elizabeth Haight, she's our New York Post relationship columnist. And today's column is, go ahead, Liz, I like your voice, say it.
It's about the checklist. And I think anybody who's single knows about the checklist. It's the never-ending Chinese menu of ideal traits that your soulmate, so-called soulmate, has to have.
And is this what is discussed around the table during every episode of Sex in the City? You kind of go around saying, and he has to do this, and she's got to do that, and it needs to be this. Where do you usually discuss this?
Look, there is no such thing anymore as Sex in the City, so we won't be comparing.
You know what I'm saying, though. Does it happen around the dinner table, or is this something that you do primarily with your therapist? Where do these discussions take place?
With a woman. With your girlfriends, and it's in your head, and it's with your shrink, and it's like this tick box, okay? You meet the guy and you say, huh, good looking. Huh, decent job. Dresses well. Good. Hip. Uh-oh, no hair on the head. Okay, and that's the deal breaker.
How many of these are there on the list, average?
Well, mine once had 24.
Okay, do you feel that that's a mean, that's a medium figure there?
Or that was high. That was really high. I mean, it included things like the right shoes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's vastly important, but it depends on the lighting, if alcohol is involved. Or is it after midnight? Are we in the inner city? Are we out in a field somewhere? I digress. Go ahead.
No. It's the screening process, and it can be really arbitrary. If you go online dating, I mean, I've seen guys insist on women who have to like Pilates. Okay, Pilates.
Okay, but is somebody trying to price himself out of the market? Is that throwing the ball out of bounds, actually, at that point?
I think so. I think what all of this is reflecting is an anxiety about commitment. You know, setting the bar so high and creating expectations that are so unreasonable that you never find the perfect one. Because you know what? There is no perfect one.
I've boiled it down to one question. I always ask myself now, would I still be here if I was blind? Oh, yeah. Consequently, I find a lot of time on my hands.
So the visuals are important to you.
No, the visuals can defeat you. The visuals the visuals can fool you into fooling yourself.
Uh-huh.
The visuals are the sirens that call you upon the rocky shoals. That's if I'm lucky. The visuals are what cause me to suspend every other priority, every other sense of value, every other sense of discipline that I might have.
See,
it took me years to beat that.
I don't get so hung up on the visuals. You know, like, you know, you read said one of my columns, bad breath is a deal breaker for me, as you well know. And today I wrote in a column how I went out with this guy. You know, I didn't mention it in the column, but fact was he was a Republican. On top of that, he was wearing lizard skin shoes. And on top of that, he had this chunk of gold on his arm. It was a watch. All those things together, deal breaker. I walked out to watch Law and Order, and he even offered to be my sex slave.
How do you walk out on something like that, Liz? You're throwing the ball out of bounds. You're pricing yourself out of the bodega.
I did. He was an investment banker, vice president, major, major house. He had a lot of bread. I think it was the Republican thing that did it to me. That was the worst of all.
How do you even describe what a Republican is today? Does that just square up as a bad guy? Or what kind of values does that impart to you? I don't even know.
Selfish.
Oh, that's an interesting qualification.
You know? And so I said to him, look, it all depends on who you give your money to. Tell me who you give your money to. I didn't like the organizations. I got to tell you, that was that. So then I said, well, will you give to Animal Rescue? Or are you going to give to, you know...
Liz, this sounds like an interview. Is that how you conduct
exactly,
your first dates?
Exactly. These things are an interview. In fact, I have a girlfriend who went out with this man who was a psychiatrist. And on the first date, he handed her a personality test. He, are you this? Are you that? And based on the test, he got rid of her.
He got rid of her after dinner, or he dropped her off on the way to dinner?
They met for a drink, and dinner would not follow because she failed the personality test.
Okay, I would have used the personality test as an icebreaker with a lot of really stupid, funny questions mixed into it with some erotic, stupid, funny questions that weren't so stupid. And then I would mix in some basic values like sense of humor questions. I think the only thing that I would really ask is, A, would I still be here if I was blind? And I key in on the sense of humor. That doesn't mean funny, doesn't mean laugh.
Right.
It means a capacity to see whatever's going on, whether it's the newspaper or in the restaurant and reflect with some levity to it.
I think you're saying it's a chick who can laugh at your jokes. Because I know for me, I don't care if the guy is funny himself, but he just has to know I'm really funny because it's all about me. And that's what this checklist is. It's a very selfish, it's a very arbitrary, it's a way of making yourself feel superior and unique.
Okay, well, let's describe the sense of humor sequence, because in the case of a job interview, which is how most first dates go, then you're correct. Then it is about your capacity to be clever, to be incisive, to think fast, to see something go on. You know, somebody drops the plates and you stand up and yell and stay out. Great sense of humor. Okay. But in the context of real humor... something very different, okay?
Sarcasm to me is very important. I don't like cynicism, but I love sarcasm.
That's one of the best forms of humor, is it not?
Yeah, it's witty. It's advanced.
Okay, and there's two kinds of sarcasm when you're auditioning for each other to see if you're both clever, and then there's the kind when you're actually enjoying the movie, so to speak. If you can't get past the first date with, wow, you're so smart, you're so clever, which is what we do for each other. We interrupt each other, then we try to one-up each other.
That's only if it's going well. I could tell you, there was a guy I was set up with, okay, again, a Republican.
Set up with is a deadly term right at the beginning there, right
well,
away.
Well, I get a lot of those. But this guy, I didn't even make it to the date. You know why? Because he spent half the phone call talking about the thread count of his Pertese sheets.
Right, sweetie, where do you dig these guys up? Come on, where are you fishing? What pond did you find?
You know, this was an Upper East Side dermatologist. What can I tell you?
Again, these are rough calls, man. Are you looking for longevity? Are you looking for some real purpose? Or
obviously,
just...
I'm not. I must be part of this Gen X generation, even though I'm not one. You know, they've had a trickle up effect, and now I've got this equally absurd standard that no man can meet.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think it's an absurd standard that somebody would start counting the threads in their sheets. How did that subject even arise?
I'll tell you. It began first by me asking him... I think he began by telling me... He was telling me he was a real connoisseur of finery, of luxury. And he used his thread count as evidence of that, which already I was turned off, even though I personally like a luxury sheet, naturally. But a guy... Okay. Then I just finally said, cut to the chase. This was back in... to the election, 2004. So I said, who are you voting for? He said, Bush. I said, that's it. That's a deal breaker. Then he said to me, well, no wonder your husband left you. You're so controlling. Well, that wasn't exactly the case.
You got so far down the road. You know what? The lies got 6 miles down the turnpike before the truth even got her boots on here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right when he started with, he likes finery. That's the wrong thing to pitch right from the beginning. If you do and you have those values and it shows, it walks on its own. Listen, you don't have to comment on
it,
correct?
Take me to your bed. Let me luxuriate in your sheets. Don't tell me your thread count.
No, what happens is you luxuriate in the sheets and then you go, these are great. And you go, hey, maybe it's the thread count.
Exactly.
Right? You play a little dumb, right? You don't want to know it all on the other end of the phone unless it's an attorney, right? But
and
I digress.
There's other stuff that's freaked me out. Like this recent guy, decent enough guy, but he's pretty much, he lives in Atlantic City. He plays almost, he's almost a professional poker player.
Nobody lives in Atlantic City.
This guy doesn't see the light of day for a weekend.
That I believe. And Dracula lives in Atlantic City. Nobody actually lives in Las Vegas either. That's a hoax.
But is that nice for a woman like me to be with a gambler? That's a real vice. And it's not like I'm unfamiliar with vice.
I don't know. You ever feel like a gun mall? You little Hellcat Amazon. You don't feel like that around Wednesday, maybe Friday?
Maybe a baseball Annie.
If I was you, this is an opportunity for at least a whole nother three columns. Are you kidding?
The poker place, you mean?
Oh, the subterranean nightlife existence that revolves around. It's like a movie. It's like the movie Casino or whatever.
And all the secondary hand smoke that I'd be inhaling.
You're thinking too much. You suffer from the fool's disease. You overthink it.
It's called the checklist.
It's called Elizabeth Haight, ElizabethHaight.com. Elizabeth Haight, who writes the post column on relationships, of which I am king. I'm the relationship god.
What makes you the god? It sounds like to me, are you a victim, veteran? How are you a god?
I will share that with you right after this. Go ahead, Brad.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
Check it out.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth. I'm here with Elizabeth Haight from ElizabethHaight.com, H-A-Y-T.com. She's our relationship professional, our relationship resident goddess. She's sharing with us the checklist here. And don't forget, 866-313-3733, 866-313-3733. If you are confounded relationally, then this is the good call. So you're talking about the checklist that we all use for each other during the job interview, I call it,
yep.
Which is usually the first three dates, right?
The screening process. But you can screen them out even before the first date. Like, I had a guy call me on the phone. We'd never even met. This was way before the internet dating thing, and I met him on the personals of the New York Observer. I figure anybody who reads the Observer has got to have a little bit of cynicism, probably same politics as me. The guy calls me up. He lives in Jersey, and I tell him my address. He was going to come pick me up. He goes, ooh, fancy neighborhood. I thought, if a guy's got to cross a bridge and a class line to see me, we're both going to be uncomfortable.
Well,
so that was it. I 86'd him.
Well, it sounds like he's trying to put you on guard a little bit, too. That's a way
smart
of fencing. You follow? That puts you on a defense right away, is that you now have to explain that value somehow. And it's also allowing to you somehow that he has a different priority, maybe, depending on the tone of voice.
Or a crappy car.
Exactly. Let's get this ghetto chariot rolling, and let's take a couple of phone calls here. Give me Tim on top there, Hutch. Roth Radio, go ahead. You're on, Tim.
Diamond Dave, what's up, buddy? I got a question.
For Elizabeth here. Go ahead.
Yeah, for Elizabeth. How could this 40-year-old sea hag be giving you relationship advice when she's not in one?
Okay, first off, she's very far from being a sea hag. I have no idea what her...
Having Rosie O'Donnell give fitness advice.
No, I think that Elizabeth, much like myself, has the stars and the scars. Speak to this, Liz.
Well, first of all, check out my picture, baby. www.elizabethhaight.com. And you figure out for yourself if I'm a sea hag.
Why don't I just give you my space, too?
So,
are you a cougar? Do you ask...
No, I don't. In fact, I'm so glad you asked that, because one of the columns I want to write is how much I love geezers. You know, I really don't like them if they're not over 50. That's kind of like where I start, at 50. And the reason why is because they've been doing it for so long. They're really relaxed. They're really calm. They take their time. They know where my parts are.
It's referred to as the big people's table at Thanksgiving, but go ahead.
I like old guys. I don't need to prey upon the young because I don't want to teach them anything. Okay, so why am I still single? Well, first of all, I object to the term relationship expert. I consider myself more a veteran or a victim. I'm definitely not the know-it-all. I've just been around the block. And I would say I'm still single mostly because of my own fault. I picked the wrong guys.
I define myself as an 8-time kamikaze.
I'm sorry, dude.
You want. Go ahead.
If she picks the wrong guy, how does that make her relationship? I mean, she should be a warning to people then.
A warning to people because I picked the wrong guys? I have to tell you something. I am part guy because I like... Are you going to hear... Okay, can I say this on the air?
Please.
I like some strange.
Okay. That's why you came to Roth Radio.
I love first times.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. There's nothing like the first time.
I love first times.
There's nothing like the first 7 minutes of any porno movie. There's nothing like the first 38 seconds of the Kentucky Derby. After that, who knows? It's all up to spec. But it's that first initial explosive charge, the ambition.
And what are you going to discover?
Tim, are you still on the air there?
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy.
Because, you know, what she's describing here is who better to describe the ways of war than those who experienced the lost victories, huh?
Exactly.
Really, you don't want natural terriers here who go out and win every race right from the very beginning?
I like it from both sides. Oops, I mean winner and loser.
Is she convincing you more, Tim? She's convincing us.
She's not convincing me one bit. I mean, she's saying that, well, yeah, I suck at relationships, but here, let me write a column about them.
No, what she's not recommending that we do as she does. She's really good at interviewing and finding out what the trends and the patterns are, okay? In terms of what the general tribe is all about, what we're doing to, with, by, and for each other, Elizabeth is extraordinary at this. And she serves it up with a sense of humor and a wit that you don't usually find. Usually this kind of stuff is a garbage civics lesson that's really, really boring and a whole lot of psychotherapeutic. Gee, why can't we all get along? I like Liz. She doesn't get along with anybody like me. How about you, Tim? You sound like you're like-minded as well.
No, I think Tim's a little closed-minded here.
I don't think so, or he wouldn't be on our show. What do you think, Tim? Are you a relationship god?
I've been married for like 5 years, 6 years now. Five years, I guess.
You got any kids?
No, not yet.
Okay, what's the problem?
Look, Tim.
No problem. Just deciding when it's going to be the right time, you know?
In my own defense.
Don't need to rush into anything.
In my own defense, Tim, I was in a marriage for 10 years and I have a 17-year-old son. So it's not as if I've lost everything.
Thanks for calling, Tim. 866-313-3733. Mark wants to go out with Liz. Liz, why don't you ask him some of the questions that are on your list? Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Okay, Liz is going to ask you some of the questions that are on her menu.
Okay, first of all, why do you want to go out with me?
Come on, Mark. No silence on the radio. Hit it.
You seem like an adventurous type. You seem like the kind of a girl who isn't happy.
Okay, now the plot just thickens. Go ahead.
I'm definitely not happy, although I laugh a lot. Okay, that was a pretty good observation, so now I know you're intuitive. So you got that...
You know, you hear on the radio, you're calling yourself an expert at relationships, not an expert, a victim of relationships. Yeah. There's something missing there.
She's an expert victim. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. She's just labeling herself.
Or a victimized expert.
God bless.
Actually, it was me who brought in and said she's a relationships expert. Anybody who takes the time to come up the floor here is an expert at something, okay? I don't think that Liz sees herself as an expert, but she certainly knows how to tell a good story after asking a whole lot of other people what they think.
So let's hear why else you want to go out with me.
Well, I'm a little bit adventurous today. Recently going through a divorce, and shouldn't have brought that up because it's definitely not a cool thing to be talking about.
Of course it is.
What's missing that you got a divorce from one woman that you feel that you might be able to extract from Liz?
Besides, you know, some nice...
I don't know that I'm looking to extract. I'm just looking to get back into the beat.
Oh, okay. So do you want to go over the checklist?
Go right ahead. You're the one that's supposed to be asking questions, right?
Well, let me hear your checklist. What do you require in a woman?
Pick your top three questions, Mark.
Honesty, integrity, and just kindness.
Oh, my God. You've got
that
values.
That sounds like the boring weekend to me. Wow.
Boring weekend.
That sounds like a civics lesson to me. I don't believe that anybody thinks that right off the bat in the first dates at all.
The guy's got a heart. Listen to this. Go ahead. Sincerity really doesn't rule amongst those who have the checklist.
There's got to be some attraction there, obviously. There's got to be some connection there. If there's not a connection, you're wasting time. You might as well wait on the bus stop.
So let me ask you this. What do you do? What's your day job?
I'm a plumber with the Board of Ed.
Oh, well, there's some nobility in that. But I don't know if we'd have a whole lot to talk about. What do you think we'd talk about?
What would be the top subjects on your mind?
What would be the top subjects on my mind?
Mark, you're struggling.
We got to move on.
Keep swimming, Mark. swimming, gone. Thank you. 866-313-3733. I got another one who thinks that Liz is a very bad girl, and he probably needs to be sent to Liz's room. Go ahead, Stan. You're on. Roth Radio, hit it.
DLR, baby. What's happening?
Stan, you are. Talk to Liz.
Liz, I've been married 10 years this year.
Uh-huh.
And, my dear, you are so vapid, one-dimensional. You have probably had 10 years, probably the first 5 you had some love. And then your husband probably decided that you weren't giving him what he wanted and decided to probably poke his head around elsewhere. And you just decided to give up and fold the tent in like a cheap deck of cards. And I don't know, you're the type of woman that, you know, right now you're basically looking to build your game all about the income.
Okay.
You probably should have been amplifying the skit of Roseanne Arquette from Amazon Women on the Moon, where she asked her date for a credit card that she can put through her scanner to get a background check.
Yeah, I need the credit rating.
Let her speak. Go ahead, Liz.
You're right. I need a credit rating. I start with the credit rating. You're absolutely right. And by the way, how do you know it was only my husband who was poking around?
Did you practice fidelity when you were married, Liz?
Fidelity?
Yeah.
Read my book. I'm No Saint. What do you think that title refers to?
I think you wouldn't have been sent to Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea.
That's absolutely right.
Unless you were somewhat self-destructive.
Now, what is it that elicits all this hostility in our male listeners from...
Jealousy.
What are you talking about?
Jealousy.
About what?
Well, you're talking about multiple partners. You're talking about multiple dates. You're talking about multiple opportunities and the whole idea of chasing the thrill of the chase.
So these guys want that?
No, I feel that most fellas, most of my buddies who have been married for a long period of time don't have that in their life
That's what I'm saying. They're jealous of the fact that I'm able to, I've got independence and privacy, and they want that?
No, you represent freewheeling.
I think I represent the male ideal.
I would agree with that. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is jealousy. Hasn't it been curious that most of the fellows who are giving you the hardest time have been married for a fair amount of time?
Yeah, and so they're looking for strange.
Well, they're looking for strange, but they're not going to admit it.
So instead, they're going to take it out on me. The vapid, two-dimensional, what am I, bad girl?
Hopefully, darling. Have another drink. Okay, how about Tom? Tom says Liz asks for too much. I agree. That's what I like about her. You're on, Tom. Hit it.
Go ahead.
Dave, what's up, brother? Long time fan from the beginning.
Thank you.
I feel, I don't care how beautiful she is. With an attitude like that, man, she needs to buy stock and batteries.
Oh, we've already been there. We did the vibrator dependency story,
and
remember?
And you were vibrator dependent
yes,
for a while.
Yes, and now I've gotten over it.
And now you're looking for the real deal, right?
Well, let me...
Man, you got so many high demands. Do you ever go on a date? I mean...
What kind of high demands strike you as being too high of a bar to jump over? Which one specifically strike you as being too extreme?
I mean, come on. If a guy's a Republican, Democrat, I mean, please.
Yeah, but what she said is that she shined him on because of that. Those were primarily incorrect answers for Liz's list, correct?
Well, yeah. What I wound up doing is having this really long list when my marriage ended. I mean, absurdly long. And nobody could meet it. You know, I would go, next, next, next. Like, one guy liked opera. I mean, that's a really cultivated thing to like. But I don't like opera.
Same.
okay, I got rid of the guy. That was a stupid thing to do. Now I'm actually becoming more open-minded. And I mentioned
too, don't get too open-minded, because most people preach a whole litany of garbage that nobody's really interested in. Mm-hmm. If you look in these standards, I don't care if it's the Playboy centerfold or in computer dating, long walks at the beach. But she hasn't been to the beach in 4 years.
No, I don't do the beach.
Loves animals, but she lives in a building where there's no animals, and she's been there for 14 years, you know. Wants to seek help the rainforest and spread love or whatever. Where's the rainforest? Well, I've always wanted to go to Africa.
You know, it's not as if I don't get blown off, too. I wrote about my column today in the New York Post that this guy and I went out. We both like art. We both have kids the same age. We both know people in the city, you know, same social circle. You know why he didn't like me?
Why?
I don't mountain bike.
No, he threw the ball out of bounds, because if it's just one single little stumbling block, mm-hmm. that's somebody who's looking for the exit. That's somebody who's looking for the window,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just one little thing like that, if you said, I hate the outdoors, which I know some girls who just, you know, the sunlight bores the daylights out of me. That's an old Stones lyric, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, you got to fit into somebody's scene. You head down below 14th Street, you got to feel comfortable going out at midnight.
You know what? You're right. I told him I did hate the outdoors. That was it.
Boom. Well, that's the big generalization.
But you know something? I don't have wrinkles because I hate the outdoors.
Well, that's just a different kind of scene that you're going to apply yourself to.
Urban.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Not everybody has to be in the great outdoors. Not everybody has to live a life like Dracula, like myself.
I recently fell in love, as I told you, with this guy who never went outside. He's a writer like me, and he's overweight. But we had the same sense of humor, similar job. That was it. I took the inner tube because, you know, we had something in common. And it was the fact that we both hate the sun.
Elizabeth Haight. Liz, thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, my God. Wait, look at all these people who love us.
You want to come back for one more?
Sure.
We could do that. Don't go away. We're going to pay for the commercials here. Go ahead.
Okay.
David Lee Roth. Mornings. 92.3 Free FM.
Bienvenido a Dave TV, la primer radiotransmisión gráfica completamente internacional. Dave TV, solo lo hacemos porque te queremos. Dave TV. Welcome to Dave TV, the first completely international graphic radio transmission.
In the studio. All right, Roth Radio, David Lee Roth here, and I'm with my favorite guest of all time, Elizabeth Haight, HAYT.com. She is our relationship
veteran.
Professor.
Sorry, now, how about professional?
A relationship professional. I resort to those frequently. Usually I'm in Atlantic City, like you superimposed earlier, but I'm not averse. And Elizabeth is talking about all of the list that we keep each other. I call it the job interview. You're talking about the first date. How do you reflect on this? For me, it's always like a job interview.
It's called the checklist, and it's a way to screen out, you know, you're weeding, what's it called? Separating the wheat from the chaff.
Okay, let's separate the wheat from the chaff here. A fella here wants to run his checklist by you, Liz. Here, it's number 10, Hutch. Go ahead. Roth Radio, you're on, my friend.
Hey, what's going on, Liz?
Wayne, tell us your checklist for Liz. Go ahead.
Well, my checklist, I run into a lot of the same problem. I'm the director of sales for a communications company.
Yeah.
And my big thing is I really look for a woman that's got a vast amount of intelligence and is smoking hot at the same time, and that pretty much kills them all right off the bat.
Where are you looking for them?
Well, kind of all over the place. I meet a lot of people through work, a lot of property managers, leasing agents, stuff like that. I try to go out, nice bars, nice restaurants, but
you know what I think you ought to do? If you're looking for smoking hot and really smart, why don't you start hanging out where law students or med students hang out?
That's a good call.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. You know, why don't you do that? Actually, you could probably, you know, fake an injury or shoot yourself in the foot and wind up in the emergency room and get lucky with a doctor. Because, you know, half of women today, half of all med students today, actually more, are women.
This makes perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. You want bass, you go to the bass pond. This is only so clearly evident. What's the next question? What's your next checklist move?
Well, my next thing is really the kind of the sarcastic sense of humor. It's hard. I don't meet a lot of people who really appreciate it. I think a lot of women, they take sarcasm kind of the wrong way.
I got an answer to that. Liz.
You go.
Yeah, when somebody reflects poorly on a joke or doesn't understand a joke, and I don't mean the references to it, when somebody understands a sarcastic joke or whatever and it doesn't really reflect, that's usually an intelligence thing.
I think you're absolutely right. Humor is all about brains. And the smartest people, I believe, are great comedians, like Robin Williams, Jon Stewart, you know, definitely. So if you're looking for, let's see, brains and wit, you got to start hanging out in comedy clubs.
Well, you know what you run into usually is the priority vote that goes like this. You watch somebody staggering around with a tray in a restaurant, okay, and you go, look at him. He looks like Stevie Wonder in Heavy Turbulence. And the person next to you goes, why do you make of Stevie Wonder? You know, he's blind, man. That's really, really difficult in today's society. That's a lack of intelligence.
Or it's just, you know, that sincerity. Sincerity will get you every time. Keep sincerity in the bedroom after you've done it. Say all kinds of nice things.
No, that's no moment. Time for sincerity. That's time for compliments. That's time for approval. That's time for respect and an outward salute no matter what happened.
I don't know. The last guy I slept with who had the really, you know, dark sense of humor. I was just telling you about him. He's a professional poker player. And afterward, he said, you know, sex is really only 5% of intimacy. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm with a good person.
Come on, sex at best. Sex at best only lasts, what, 9, 12 hours? Anyways, what next on your list? This is a good list, Wayne. Go ahead.
I think next on my list, they have to be fun to be around. And I mean, they have to just be real cool and just open. I think self-confidence is lacking in a lot of, I think it's more lacking in women than it is in men.
Bingo.
Well, you better go for someone older.
Oh, know? No. You know what? Also, you watch somebody on an airplane or somebody in the automobile when you're going somewhere for distance. I mean, longer than a 10-15 minute ride.
Uh-huh.
And some people cannot stop fidgeting. They're constantly uncomfortable. Look at somebody on an airplane. Most people, could they change the magazine, put the magazine back into the covers, put the magazine down on the thing, change the jacket, take the jacket off, redo the belt, put the belt on, and it's endless.
What about the foot jigglers?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I call it a surgically implanted disco beat. And if you see one of those, they're constantly uncomfortable. How are they going to be uncomfortable with you if all that rhythm and all that jump and jive is implanted in their spine, so to speak?
You want someone real slow. Basically, you want Al Green.
Also, you know what you want to look for? My sister Lisa shared this with me, is dressing appropriately. Okay?
What does that mean?
Well, usually it means simple. Usually it means not looking to broadcast, skipping the Pamela Anderson explodo approach. If you're looking to just be with somebody somewhere, urban camouflage. Put your jeans on, put on your cleanest dirty work shirt, put on your cowboy boots, not the shiny ones. You don't make a statue out of your haircut.
That's for the chick, you're saying?
Yeah. You move in a much simpler kind of a way, because most places that you go, it's inappropriate to do exactly what you're doing right now, Liz.
I won't go anywhere without at least 4 inches on the bottom of my feet.
That's okay, then. You'll put it on the bottom of your feet, and you dress sensibly like you do now, and then you have a prize at the bottom of the bottle.
Oh.
Like putting M&Ms in a Coca-Cola. Seriously, because most people dress inappropriately. You're talking about your Republican or whatever. Oof. You want to go for a walk in the park. He's going to show up in lawyer loafers, necktie.
No, worse.
A cardigan sweater.
Sweater around the shoulders.
Yeah, and he's going to wear a Rolex watch, so all the homeboys go, yo, wait until he walks in the tunnel. That's inappropriate. Do you follow my reasoning at least?
Yeah, although I would disagree with the Rolex. I can take a Rolex. How about a Steve McQueen Rolex? An old vintage Rolex?
It's
hot.
Precisely what you do not wear for a walk in the park. I'm serious. It's inappropriate. It causes trouble. My girlfriend Stacy, knock out stuff. And we would go walking places, and she would dress like mind roasting, retina roasting. My IQ would go down 14 points. She was so sexy. But I was afraid to take her for walks. We would walk to the movie theater from the house in Pasadena, California. Mm-hmm. It's about a 30-40 minute walk. But it passes through all kinds of interesting neighborhoods. I couldn't take her on the walk.
Wait a second. Would you have preferred her in Tevas?
To get through those neighborhoods, that's what would have been appropriate, is to dress down and become one of the tribe.
I think,
so that's sensible.
Teva, Tevas, deal breaker for me?
I don't think Tevas are a deal breaker, depending on if you're standing next to seawater.
That's true.
It depends on the feet, right.
Go ahead, Wayne. Do you got another on your checklist? This is a great call.
Well, my next thing, you know, Liz, you're awesome. And speaking of the older woman thing, I'd like to take your checklist, maybe take you out to dinner sometime.
Oh, gosh.
I knew there was an agenda lurking around in there somewhere.
You know, believe it or not, for all my exhibitionism, I do keep it separate, the business and pleasure. And I don't date the readers or the listeners.
I try to confuse business with pleasure as frequently as possible, and it's driving my accountant nuts. Back to you, Liz, please.
Oh, well, I love the offer. It's very flattering, but I have to decline.
All right.
I'm sorry, but thank
Wayne,
you.
Thanks for calling, Wayne. 866-313-3733. Okay, pick one that looks like the most fight to you up there.
Oh, we got James turning down Republicans.
Here you go, number 13. I'm hoping he's angry, Liz.
Definitely not angry, as long as she's open-minded enough to hear me out.
Okay, let's hear what you got.
First of all, you're throwing away 65% of the people in your age group by saying if they're not Republicans.
That's cool. I have to, I'll date down, meaning age-wise, so long as I've got a liberal.
I don't even think Liz is basing it on the actual agenda politically. It's the type of person who presents that agenda.
Listen,
she labeled them. She labeled them as Republicans.
Yeah.
And to quote a great man, Winston Churchill, he said, if you're under the age of 25 and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're over the age of 25 and you're still a liberal, you don't have a brain.
I have got a big brain and a big heart.
Okay.
You know what?
That's great. But, and you also said something about people that give. If you look at the list of the states that have given the most, and these are not rich states, 9 of the top 10 are red states. And I am not a Republican, by the way. I'm a capitalist. So.
Okay, wait. Let me share something, guys. Is I grew up in a liberal Democratic family, but my father was a prison doctor at San Quentin and Folsom, okay? Mm-hmm. I was raised in a fashion that Republicans would raise their kids. And I can tell you with absolute surety that all those folks who are getting so much done, 90% of us, are completely egocentric.
Yeah.
The world revolves around us. It's the business. It's the art form. For me, an example, art comes first. Anybody else except blood family is going to always be second to me. When you find an accomplished businessman or an accomplished politician like Winston Churchill, how much room in his life did he leave for the family affair, Liz?
I want to know from you, Dave. So how much does politics play into your checklist?
It's not politics. It's the way that you were raised. And when you say to me Republican, that suggests probably closer to the way I was raised. Boy Scouts, Pop Warner football, karate lessons, language lessons, chess lessons, etc., etc. And that adds up to a kind of a confidence and a kind of a focus. We make great musicians, we make great politicians, we make doctors.
You had a very rigorous upbringing, it sounds like. You know, my father was also Republican, and I think I grew up on Long Island, and the town I grew up in, it was predominantly Jewish, liberal, Democrat, and he was the only Republican, I'm sure the only guy where I grew up who voted for Nixon over Kennedy. Now, but he was a liberal Republican, and I think we've lost that sort, you know, who are fiscally sound but socially liberal. And I think that I could accept a Republican like that, but on the whole, this, you know, the Patriot Act, the pro-Iraq war, I mean, is anybody looking through this smoke?
You know what? I call it wading through somebody's sobriety. ElizabethHate.com, HAYT.com, Elizabeth Haight, our relationship guru on the post, from the post, and Elizabeth Haight, our favorite guest on Monday afternoons. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
Oh, Dave, it's always good to see you.
And, you know, I'm going to have a list ready for the next time around here. And for those of you who had a great time, tell a friend. If you had a crummy time, tell an enemy. See you all tomorrow morning.
Yeah. David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.